I've had a joke stuck in my head. Do you guys ever have this happen? Ooh. Do you have a joke?
Your own joke or somebody else's?
No, someone else's. I actually don't even know whose joke
absolutely.
It is.
Okay.
I don't know who's... Like, yeah. It's an old joke.
We were talking about this earlier. Okay, so you said a great line about a comic you didn't like, and you walked past Christian, and you just said, like, you didn't look him in the eye.
Without
you said,
eye contact.
I hate him worse. Wait, you say it. You were great.
He said, so the guy was on stage, mid-set, Corey goes, and if you knew the guy, you'd agree. He says, I hate him more than pedophiles, and walks out the door, which was just such a poignant...
That was not the joke that has been stuck in my head.
Do tell.
I'm going to tell you the joke. Cameron has heard the joke.
Okay.
But, so I'm gonna tell you
by
the
who?
Joke. Yeah, I don't know who originated the joke, but it requires something from you the way I like to tell it.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
You, to what I say, you need to then say, no, how do his pants fit?
I've never been more ready
okay?
in my life.
All right. Hey, Christian, did you hear about the guy with five penises?
No, how did his pants fit?
Like a glove. Like a glove, he says. So that's my little piece. What do you have on your mind? Let's
cool.
just move this fucker
yeah, yeah.
along.
I just turned 21. That's a big thing that's happening, which is cool. It's exciting. You got to tell a joke. I'm going to tell a joke based on that I thought of because I have a stand-up show immediately after this, and you guys are going to be my test crowd. Is that okay? It's a joke I've never tried before. Just turned 21, and then you guys clap again.
Yeah! It's a thing you gotta do.
And my parents got me a watch, which was really nice of them, just like a wristwatch. But I used to work at a watch store, so like I already have a bunch of watches, which creates a problem. I think if somebody comes over to my house and they see how many watches I have, they start to get suspicious. Like it's gotten to the point where they see my watch collection, and at this point, I don't look like a well-dressed man. I just look like a very punctual serial killer. Three of you enjoyed it. I'll take
it.
That's a win.
Question.
That's a win for me.
Really quick question. Yeah. Do you really own a lot of watches?
I really do. It's too
do
many.
Did they actually buy you a watch?
Oh, I forgot part of the joke. Doesn't matter now. But yes, they did. Yeah, it was really nice of them. It's the idea that my income to watch ratio is like way off. Because if you make less than $100,000 a year, you get two watches. Owning a watch, this sounds like a thing I've written, but... Oh no! Only
but
a watch.
But that's just because you're so effortless.
Yeah. Fuck God! No, it's because I'm so fake sounding when I talk. Owning a watch when you have an iPhone is like owning. It's like owning a specific. It's paying a lot of money for something that nobody needs, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if you owned like a book. If you own just a device for your Twitter notifications, but like you also get them on your phone, like it's pretentious.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
This devolved into old people complaining about young people. Let's bring the first band on, guys.
Yeah, you guys are an amazing audience. Give it up for yourselves.
One more time, Hungry Skinny, everybody.
Thank you. In a house.
It's all here in my file. I haven't read it in a while, but I remember the gist. There's a two-page list of every word I've ever kissed. The scars on my fist, but you didn't.
Thank you. Santa Rita, a senorita. You make me wanna believe her. Oh, my patroness, I pray to thee so. You help me good, be so, so much more. Senorita, you make me wanna believe her. Oh, my bitterness, I pray to thee so. You know we could be so, so much more. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, mister.
Shot, but he's going to tell you a joke. It's like a John Cage joke. We played a show in a cave. Sneaker Wave got it. Fucking crab battle.
Happy birthday, Spencer.
Yeah, happy birthday, Spencer. New record coming out too, so keep checking Sam Goody every week.
Roll you along, but I got a few books on tape and a camera to back up.
Thanks so much for having us, Sacramento.
Hungry Skinny, everybody. Oh my goodness. So I'm gonna kill just a little bit of time while these fellas are, you know, finishing up what they gotta do, you know. But I don't want too much dead air, and I kinda wanna warm you up a tiny bit before I bring on an incredibly funny person. So I'm gonna be try to be a little bit funny, if that's okay. I'll tell you a story here. I went for a walk the other day. I went for a lovely walk through a very friendly neighborhood. When suddenly I came across a very unfriendly sign that was planted in a lawn. And that sign said, "Pray to end abortion now." Yeah, that was my feelings on it. I was disgusted when I saw this sign. But as I kept walking, and I kept thinking about the sign, my feelings of disgust transformed into feelings of relief. Relief once I remembered that prayer doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It was a very ineffective sign, in other words. That sign was just as effective as those novelty sports signs you see. You know, the ones that say, like, San Francisco Giants parking only. All others will be towed. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret here. You can park there. You can park. They threaten legal action, but they have no authority. You can park there. Religion can be kind of kooky. I was raised in the faith, so I got a pretty heavy dose of it growing up. And sometimes they just get really weird with their iconography and stuff. I once saw this image plastered on a wall. It was sort of like an optical illusion kind of thing, like a Pokemon card kind of, where it kind of changed depending on the angle you looked at. So if you're looking at it head on, it was the image of Jesus Christ. And if you turn it ever just so, Jesus transforms into Mary Magdalene. I don't know if it's a Bible reading crowd, but Mary Magdalene, she was sort of the quirky love interest of the Bible. Her and Jesus, you know, they met cute. It was that old cliche. She was possessed by 7 demons, and he was like, "Get out of there, demons!" And they continued to have sort of a will-they-won't-they thing going on for a while. They were really the Ross and Rachel of the New Testament. Or at least, that's how I choose to interpret it. You know, because that's the groovy thing about the Bible. You can interpret it a billion different ways. And I figure if people can use it to justify genocide, I can pretend it's a rom-com. That's my prerogative. I get to do that. That's just me, though. That's a me thing. All right, I think that's sufficient. I'm going to bring up one of my very, very favorite comics in town. Every time he's up, it's a treat because I never really know what I'm going to get, what kind of guy I'm going to get. So, and tonight is just like any other night in that regard. So please buckle the fuck up for a dear friend of mine, Mr. Stephen Ferris.
Hey, thanks for clapping and everything. I appreciate you guys doing that. I really do. All right, so how often do you do this? Is like once a month or something like that?
On the show.
All right. And usually there's about 2 comedians on it.
Uh-huh.
And how many times have you done it?
This is our 11th show.
11th? So that's a lot.
Yeah.
And then you're going to keep doing it after this too.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, because I was just asking because I mean, I know I'm the only, I mean, you know, besides, you know, the other guys, Corey and Cameron and everybody. I mean, they're comedians too. But, like, I'm the one that's, like, featured tonight on the show, right? And since... I mean, you guys probably have watched a lot of the other shows too, right? No?
Yeah.
Well, you might come back again after tonight and watch more Where the shows? Probably. Yeah. All right. Because I was just thinking, I mean, 11 shows and two comedians on each one. And then, I don't know, it's just a lot of comedy, and they all, like, tell a bunch of jokes and stuff. And it's just a lot of jokes. So I thought I like to, you know, just give people a break from just all these jokes. I mean, so I was just going to tell you guys a story about this rake that I bought. Because I didn't have a rake, and I had some leaves in my yard in the driveway that had, like, been there for a while, and it started to kind of break down. They got all wet and muddy and full of worms and stuff like that, so I got a rake, and I used it to rake up the leaves and stuff. But then, so once I did that, I mean, they were all raked up. I just had the rake, and I had this other problem, because I have a garage, and it only has two lights, or had at the time. And like, one light was just like the one that comes on when you open and close the garage door, and then it turns off after like 5 minutes. So that one doesn't even really do much. And then the other one is just by, like, the door that goes from the house into the garage. And it's just not enough, because a lot of times I go out there at night, you know, and then I can't see. So I knew I was going to have to do something about that and, you know, add some more lights. And at one point, you know, during the history of the house, like, it was clear that there had been, like, some big fluorescent lights like that in there. And the you know how they call the part that's not the bulbs the ballast or whatever? No? Yeah, all right. So those were still there, but they were, like, detached and, like, stuffed up in the rafters or whatever. So I was thinking, man, that's going to be a big job, so I'll have to, like, wire them and stuff. But I was like, well, I guess I'll get to that at some point. But then it hit me one day, because I was going through one of my closets, and I had these, like, drop lights from IKEA that I had bought when I lived in my apartment, because my apartment is from the 60s, and, like, it's one of those things where, like, it didn't have any lights in the bedroom, but it had a switch, and then the switch activated a plug, and then you would plug the lights into that. So that's why I bought those. And then I had, like, four of them, and oh yeah, because I didn't have a use for them in my house, so, like, I had them all in this canvas box. It doesn't matter, it's canvas, but that's what it was. I don't know. So I was like, what am I gonna do with these lights? And then one day it just connected. Like, it was a long time, but eventually the two thoughts, like, the garage light solution and what am I going to do with these, crossed. And I was like, all right, so I'm going to put these drop lights in the garage. And so I started putting them in there. It was basically like an extension cord with a light bulb socket at the end. And so I just, like, wrapped one around the rafters, and then there was a spare plug where the where the garage door opener plugged in. So I put a strip. I plugged this strip into that, and then I could plug in all the lights. And I put there's four of them in there. I was kind of. It's nice because, like, if I bump one, it'll swing instead of breaking. And I used LEDs, so. But one of them was a different spectrum of light than the other three. But I mean, it's just the garage, so it's not really big deal. But oh yeah, you guys are probably wondering, like, how did the rake come into it? So. a lot of different things you could do with a rake. so, because it was up in the rafters, and then I didn't want to move my car out of the garage. And so it was like hard to get to some of the parts. Plus, I had a canoe hanging up there too. So basically what I did was I took the plug end of the light cord and I put it in the teeth of the rake, and then I got it, I hooked it onto like a rafter and then pulled the rake away and then went around to the other side and hooked the rake back on and pulled it. So that's how that's how I was able to do that. So that's pretty much the whole the story about the rake. I haven't done anything else with it. just been sitting around. Oh, thank you for that. So I know like I said we're gonna take a break from jokes and stuff like that, and I mean, that was, so, like, I write jokes, too, so I thought maybe I'd throw a couple of those in there. Donald Trump joke, yeah, all right. He's a joke, yeah, all right. But this is a Donald Trump joke, kind of. Just because he won, you know, gotta. If he didn't win, I wouldn't do it, you know. But yeah, he won, and a lot of people don't like it. Probably most of you don't like it. And, people say he's like Hitler or whatever. But when I was a kid, I used to get Donald Trump and Larry Flint confused. Like, I'd hear the name of one and then picture the other one's face. So that was when I was a kid. That was a long time ago. And then he won and stuff. So I was like, well, I was thinking about, like, why did I get him confused? So I Googled both of their names together, and I didn't find the answer, but I found an article about Larry Flint, and they were asking him about Donald Trump, and he said he didn't like him, and he said that he thought Donald Trump was like Mussolini, who is kind of like Hitler, I guess, but it was just making me think of this other joke that I'd written. So I combined them. You guys know how, like, there was only one Hitler? Yeah. Yeah. And you guys know how Larry Flint, he has a magazine called Hustler?
Yeah.
All right. And this is true, that I really got him confused with Donald Trump. I didn't just do that for the joke. So, like, Hitler and Hustler kind of sound the same. And I was like, I was wondering if maybe, like, because there's only one. And I was like, if there was more than one Hitler, like a whole bunch of them, I was wondering if they would call themselves Hustler. Because, like, the letters in each word are almost the same. So, like, but, you know, there's some that are different. Like, some one of them, like, Hitler has letters that, or just one letter that Hustler doesn't have. And then Hustler has a couple letters that Hitler doesn't have. And what are they? Hitler. Hitler has the letter I. Hustler doesn't have that. And then Hustler has U and S. So it's like Hitler is like I, like one Hitler. I am Hitler, just one. And then Hustler is like us. Like all of us are Hitler. More than one. And that's the whole thing, finally, right there. It's always a fun one. do you guys like snails?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Right on. And do you guys like fast cars?
Yeah.
You guys like cars that get good gas mileage?
Hell yeah.
Right on. All right. So a lot of cars they've been making. I mean, these have been around for a while, but more recently, a lot of cars are having turbochargers in them. And a nickname for a turbocharger is a snail, because it kind of looks like a snail, right? And turbochargers, like, they can help a car get better gas mileage and go faster, right? And and then you guys know how, like, people eat snails too? Yeah. And snails are slow, right?
Yeah.
But turbochargers make the car go fast. And then so if you eat a snail, it's escargot or whatever. Like S kind of sounds like and then cargo, like, it's like, even though a snail is slow, then, like, it makes us a car go fast. I think that one was better as a Facebook post, because if you read it instead of sounding it out. Well, you guys like glass?
Hell yeah. Yeah,
glass.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? You guys know how you can cook stuff in glass sometimes? And you guys do that a lot? No?
Sometimes. In a microwave.
A microwave? And of course, there's a special kind of glass that they use so it doesn't break, right? A Pyrex glass. So I was going to tell you guys about the history of... Pyrex glass, if you guys are interested in that. Yeah? All right. so, it wasn't always called Pyrex. glass when it first came out. Used to be called Pirate's Glass. So it was invented by pirates. the way they came up with it was because the pirates, you know, they had these big ships. But their ships were basically like giant glass-bottom boats. They had these big glass bottoms on there so that it would help them to find treasure on the seafloor. So you look down, hey, there it is, and then... and you know, a lot of countries like had these navies and stuff that didn't like pirates, and you know, like England and Spain, or two, Portugal. but they didn't like pirates, and so they were always trying to catch the pirates, and they figured out a weakness of the pirate ships, which is that if they chased the pirates from a really hot part of the ocean to a cold part, then those glass bottoms would break. And they'd just go straight down. So pirates had to get smart and come up with a a new formula for the glass to keep that from happening. And then the name change probably happened because, like, I think Pyrex stole the formula or pirated the formula from the pirates. Yeah. Should have thrown that on the end there. And that's that one. And so those are, what, three jokes about I put in there? Yeah, so. Oh, yeah, go ahead. That's a good time to clap. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Stephen Ferris, everybody.
All right,
Stephen Ferris.
Do I go?
No, let's have a chat.
Stay right now, okay.
Are you cool having a little bit of a chat right now?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I just wasn't sure if I was supposed to go.
No. I want to pick your brain a little bit.
All right.
I think there's things that are on everyone's mind probably right now. I know that you did improv for a spell. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. I did do a little bit of that.
Yeah,
sure.
Did that come before stand-up?
Oh, no.
Okay, so what was the driving force behind even trying stand-up in the very first place, and when did that start?
I did it one time in high school, and then before that, like, you know, went to Waldorf, and they always make you do a class play every year, and... So, like the last 3 years, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, we did plays. Like, we did them before that too, but those were the ones where, like, I really kind of came into my own, I guess. Because before I was like super shy, and like we did a play one time, and instead of saying my lines, I just mouthed the words. It was awkward, but then, like, that was like fifth grade, and then sixth grade, it was like I was just like this funny guy all of a sudden. I don't know if it was like puberty or what, but
do you feel like, what was it that helped you connect with people, and do you feel like you even do connect with people, or is it just like a surface level of I'm being funny, so it creates a sense of connection? Do you feel you actually connect with people?
Some people, like in real life, you know, some people
in real life, yeah. As opposed to,
well, I mean, it's real too, but it's easier. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's audiences that I don't connect with, but
okay.
I don't know. Just like, I guess I'm a different person, sort of on stage than. And out in the world, you know, so out there are people that I connect with, but up here it's like, I don't know, I'm just connecting with people as a performer, so I don't really have to worry about anything. I don't know.
Do you have... Because it seems like there's like a conscious objective behind your material. And I don't know if maybe I'm just projecting that. Like if I'm wanting there to be something, so I'm projecting it. But is there like... Do you have an idea going in of like, I want to create this. Whatever this is, I want to create that with stand-up. Or is it more of a natural, it just happens that way?
Well, I think it's kind of a combination of both. Because I'll have just times in my life and, you know, other performers that I watch here and there who, you know, really make me laugh hard. Like I'm crying and, you know, have difficulty breathing because I'm just laughing so hard. And... you know, it's usually like really stupid things that, you know, bring that about. So, I think I spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, what it was about those things that made me laugh that hard, but I don't really directly connect that to writing anything. I just, you know, things pop into my head and they're, if they make me feel that way, then... You know, that's going to be a joke or something.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You do a fair amount of like conceptual bits. I know the one that comes to mind is the Greek chorus comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that a little bit to the audience?
Okay. So you guys know what a Greek chorus is? Yeah. Yes. Or some people. All right. So it's like a choir, basically, except instead of singing. At least as far as I know. I'm not an expert. But instead of singing, they all talk in unison. So they're all saying the same lines. And this one time, me and my friend tried to record like a comedy sketch, and we were going to say the lines in the sketch in unison, and we couldn't do it. We just kept cracking up every time. And so I thought, why not do a Greek chorus, but it's comedy. And then I thought it would be a neat way to, I was like, who's going to write the jokes? Like, so I thought it'd be a neat way to pay homage to deceased comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So just pick out like the top 50 jokes or whatever from different comedians. And then we'd do those.
Yeah. So. It's kind of a sight to behold.
Yeah.
I saw a video from, I think it was the more recent time you did it at Luna's, and you guys were doing a Carlin bit. Was it like the seven words you can't say?
Yeah, we did that one.
Yeah. My goodness. It's surreal. Like, because it's not just a bunch of people he gets. He has them in costume, basically, like in these white robes, and he's conducting them, like, with his lines of it. And it's just this group of people saying these filthy words in unison. It's like... All right, I'm done talking about how great it is because I love it. But is there any, like, do you ever have any kind of fear doing conceptual bits like that? Because I feel like they can definitely fall on their face. Do you have any kind of a fear of doing weird bits?
Maybe a little, but, like, it was just so much fun to do and just be a part of it that I didn't really care, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just having fun, so.
Is there any idea that you've had before that you haven't followed through with?
I think there's tons of ideas that I've had like all the time that I don't follow through with.
Why so. Not? What's stopping you?
I don't know, just other things, life, you know. A lot of the ideas I have can be kind of elaborate. I mean, that one is. But sometimes there'll be more, and then it's like, you know, the reality starts to set in, like how much work you have to put into it. It's like, well, I don't know if I want to tie myself to that, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't do it.
So switching gears just a little bit, and we'll kind of make it like the wrap up, just because it's something that we've never talked about before. But I am curious, what are your thoughts, if any, on the afterlife? And any sort of, is there any higher force or anything like that? What is your take on that?
I don't know.
I know. I ended on a softball. Yeah.
No, actually, I do kind of have a a good answer for that. I mean, mainly I don't know, but at the same time, like, you know, I like to think of like spirituality as just like, it's all like energy from the sun, right? And it's like, you know, it comes down, it hits the earth, right? And then it gets stored. So life is some form of energy storage.
Mm-hmm.
Or a mechanism to enable it.
Vitamin D, go on.
Yeah. And then I figure, you know, when we die, that energy has to go somewhere. It gets absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
Your worms eat us and stuff like that. So we live on through the worms. And like, well, the circle of life then, right?
That's a much more interesting Bible concept. Just heavy on the worms. I like the idea of that.
Well, that kind of tied into my rake thing a little bit.
It did. It all comes around. Well, thank you so much for doing the show.
Sure.
I really, really appreciate it. Please, once more, Stephen Ferris.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to make a quick changeover for your final band. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Joan and the River's coming up next. Stick around.
I don't want my life to be too hard. Okay. How's everything sounding?
Can you hear things?
Guitar up. I agree. Couldn't agree more.
Why should have brought two fucking amps?
Should have brought two. You guys should have brought four. Well, fuck it.
Well, I know. I really need less room on this stage right now.
You guys look silly without any of your stuff.
We left it all.
This is Jader Light tonight.
Yeah. So cigarettes go up $2 tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're bought like as many really as we possibly could.
That's what we're doing right in every 7-Eleven we can.
Yeah. So smoke them if you got them. Yeah, preferably. Anywhere you want, really.
So we're from San Jose, California, the Bay Area. And this next song is about dying in traffic. What?
Street meat?
Yeah, we're going to do it. It's called Street Meat. I spend my life sitting Thank you. Can we get a little love for Hungry Skinny? Yeah! God damn. We love those guys. Tonight's like, tonight and tomorrow night. It's just like a little pre-gamer for a Grimfest that's coming up in May. If you don't know about it, I'm sorry. I don't know. Some stupid fucking thing we do in Reno.
Yeah, bummer, dude.
But yeah, you should come. You're totally welcome.
So this place won't let you buy more than one beer at a time.
He has a system. We've played here. This is the third time. He's got
a
system.
I tried the same thing every time. So, I don't know where she's at, but I've got a couple waiting for me.
What are we playing next?
This song's about this bartender. Baby Blue Food, okay. I guess. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. You just wrote it. Yeah.
in the song, our senor, what do you
Cut the system, dead man's a town, time to change your
Sounds like a bunch of noise up here, Eric.
Yeah, and then it just disappears for a second.
Yeah, like a bunch
and
of
all of our lights flash.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool for us. You guys can't see it. That was nice. That was the song that Fine Lady requested.
Yeah, that was a cover.
And then...
but this one is original.
Yeah. So who has a cat? Cool. Who likes napping with their cats? It's fun.
It's the best.
You guys
thing
really
ever.
Do what this guy's doing. It's great. That's why we named the song called Catnap. We named it called Catnap or something like that. I don't fucking know. It's all a bit. The song has nothing to fucking do with that.
But we do love cats.
Yeah, that part is true.
Don't go to shows.
All right. We got one more song about masturbation. We got time for that? Yeah. Everyone's got time for masturbation. Just a couple minutes as well. Cool. It's either that or we play a song that we don't have lyrics for yet that's brand new. Masturbation? Okay.
Cool. This is actually one that we played that is recorded. I don't think any of the other ones we played, they're all new shit. So if you are intrigued about this masturbation song, you can go on the interwebs and listen to it. It's called Nar Nar Binks.
So we just want to, first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. So thank all of you people.
Thank you. You are great.
Who didn't actually have to be here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Hungry Skinny. We do appreciate you being here. Yeah. Okay.
And then two, I want to invite all of you people to not my house. So that's why I'm inviting all of you guys.
But to Dino's house.
We're going to do a house show
tomorrow.
We've
been inviting people there our whole way up here. That's why it took us so long. We weren't stuck in traffic. We were just fucking bums on the side of the road giving the address out. It's going to be fun tonight.
Yeah, so tomorrow we got a house show at his house. So if you know where he lives, just show up.
Yeah.
And then three, we've got some shit for sale. It's actually shit.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like a garage sale type shit.
Yeah. We just really got to move a couch, guys. Really got to move it. So, Mike, why don't you just start this off? I think we talked longer than the actual song is long. Cool.